This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everybody. I'm your dungeon master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz. Jake Hurwitz, don't say your character's name. We don't want to spoil anything yet, but say hi.
Say hi. Howdy, everybody. Hello. Good to be here.
All I need is Jake Hurwitz.
I always love fake, polite intros. I can absolutely fucking slobber my stink on that.
Pleasure to be with you.
With the politest intro of all, Emily Axford.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really been an honor to be invited. And so to actually be launching into this is a thrill.
And the last guest on
You said
Fresh
not
Air.
To do my character voice, but that is my
right.
character.
Wow.
So muted. Just so even and flat for radio. I love it.
And then, of course, we've got Caldwell Tanner.
Hi, it's so great to be here. I can't do this. I'm fucking pumped. I'm Caldwell Tanner. Let's play some D&D.
We are back in the studio. We are back together. It is nice kicking off a new campaign all together.
I like
time
it.
We didn't get to do that.
No. Yeah.
We got to finish together, but not start together.
Yeah. Pivotal moments together. That's
that
important.
So erotic.
It sounds erotic, but how do you...
Everyone started masturbating on the way over.
Oh, gotcha. I was wondering how it was going to work, but we warmed ourselves up, and then we all had sex with each other. That makes sense. Okay, everybody. Cool.
The nuance is gone.
Yeah.
no more alluding. That's what happened.
Hey, we got to get back in the mood, you know?
Alluding is for losers.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Anyone that fucking got over the dragon pussy thing came back for this episode and they're like, you know what?
I'll give it another try.
They never change.
Why allude when you can keep it lewd? Thank you.
All right. Now that our non-real fans are gone.
Hello to the day ones.
And only the real ones are here with us.
Oh, my good God.
I'm going to go ahead and do a little bit of a world overview before we meet all of our characters. This is the same setting as Campaign 1. For anybody who hasn't listened to it, that's okay, though. It's going to be 200 years in the future. So if you haven't heard it, it's no big deal. It's not the same characters. There will be, obviously, some spoilers about the world in general and the fate of certain characters, but then you can just treat Campaign 1 as a prequel. So I think that's all very fun. You can listen to it however you want.
There you go.
And with that, let me set the scene.
Let's go.
It has been 200 years since the goddess Theala brought cataclysm to the world. In the time since her defeat at the hands of the Titans of Bahumia, the realm has changed dramatically. The hero's de facto home base, the floating city of Gladeholm, subsequently became a beacon of hope for Bahumia Reborn.
Nice.
Oh.
The greatest minds flocked there, arguably the greatest minds, and discovered breakthroughs in science and magic that made life in Bahumia better for everyone.
Damn right.
However... The utopian metropolis eventually outgrew the mortal realm and used its advanced technology to teleport the entire city to the astral plane, where it now deals with matters of universal importance.
Good for them.
Wow, those characters sound cool.
They sound rad.
Whoa.
Let's jump to the astral plane, bro.
No, put me in the shit.
We that cut two. True. We cut two. Three graves. Smash cut two.
Oh, God, that's good.
A group funeral.
Is that how we would have wanted to go out?
Aw, yeah. One big grave.
So, Gladeholm. This utopian city, this floating city, has disappeared to the astral plane. That was 25 years ago.
Ooh.
With many of the world's best and brightest gone, a struggle for power has emerged on the material plane. After centuries of relative peace, the five remaining kingdoms quietly vie for power as tensions bubble.
Bloop. Bloop, bloop.
Is that intentional? Because we're going to a bubble.
We are going to a bubble. Yes. It wasn't intentional. Yes, one of these kingdoms is where we will be starting our adventure. This is the city of Ezri, famous for its magic technology and arcane force field that acts as its city walls. The force field is a giant magical bubble that protects the enormous city center. The upper classes and the people who work for them live in the bubble, while the lower classes are relegated to the unprotected outer rim of the city. The city center is a man-made mountain of gorgeous stone buildings tiered on top of each other. Cobblestone pathways wrap around the city and climb upward to the higher districts. The city is much too big to walk bottom to top, so you'd probably take one of the many cable cars that shoot through the air to get from the lower districts to the higher ones and vice versa.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very cool shit.
I desperately desire a cable car fight.
We'll see. There is open air between the different tiered districts to make room for a constant flow of airships. Whoa. In and out of the various docking stations, constantly doing business around the city.
I'm here in hustle. I'm here in bustle. I love it.
There's so much hustle. There's so much bustle.
Damn.
The greatest ship of all is the Mothership, a humongous air yacht. Think like Imperial Star Destroyer, like huge, 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 completely dwarfs any other airship. This hovers over the city and hosts the offices of the Mothership Corporation. Mothership is a Magitek monopoly that controls the city top to bottom. They are like Kirkland meets Lockheed Martin.
Wow. What a mix.
Yeah, what a mix. You can get some, yeah. You could definitely get some trail mix there, yeah. But also they'll make you a missile. No, seriously.
This is great, yeah.
They literally sell you the magic items that you need to get through your everyday life, mm-hmm. Then use that money to fund the Ezri military, then use that strength to get power, then use that power to make more money.
They make a great tub of pretzels that's shaped like a tank.
They it's definitely do. Yeah.
Peanut butter filled, too.
Yeah.
Incredible
I
business
like them,
model.
Actually. These people sound great.
No qualms. No problem.
Great socks.
So there is technically a king of Ezri, but he is such a shill that he literally resides on the mothership in a royal quarter.
Wow.
The old castle.
He has a branded crown.
He does now. the old castle is now a magic university, the Mothership Launchpad Academy.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
All those little learners.
So many little learners. The Launchpad brings in bright-eyed students only to feed them into soulless jobs, enchanting items all day, or encouraging them to join their super soldier military. These super soldiers are the pride of Ezri, the synth eldritch knights. They are implanted with powerful gemstones called monostones that allow the company to artificially upgrade their magic powers. The best of the eldritch knights were historically the A-class synths, but a team of experimental S-class synths. Why am I having such a hard time saying this word? S-class synths.
A lot of S's.
Were recently developed.
Ooh.
However, this small S-class squad was mysteriously wiped out, along with some of the scientists who developed them, slaughtered at an outpost on the edge of the neighboring forest. This forest, the Living Wood, is home to several factions of dragon elves. The captain of the S-class team was a defected dragon elf named Beatrix Netherin. The company believes the dragon elves are responsible for the murder and are using this to gain public support for military action against them. But here we are talking about A-class synths and S-class synths.
Sounds great. Yeah, they're let's
not,
do it, dude.
They're not who's
I'm ready
important
to debut
right
my
now.
A-class synth character, Merv.
We've got some very lovely D-class synths.
Come on.
Just as good. That's what you wanted,
just
right?
Just as good.
Hey, if it's a brass eyes.
Yeah. So we are going to go ahead and start with Caldwell's character.
Oh, great.
Caldwell, your dude is getting ready for work.
Mm.
The sun has just gone down, and D-class synths unfortunately get the night shift. You are technically a synth Eldritch Knight of Ezri, but the C and D classes are effectively city guards.
Everyone has a job, everyone has a purpose, and I will fulfill it to the best of my abilities.
Caldwell, would you like to describe your character, how he looks, and what he's doing to get ready for work?
Sure. Should I say my name as well?
Yeah, of course.
Great. I am Solemn Bufo, but you can call me Saul. I am a bullywug. I'm about 3.5 feet tall, around halfling size, I would say. And I am wearing a homemade sweater that is in the same pattern as the standard issue Synth Knight sweater. But that one didn't fit me, so I've crafted my own as a replica. The sleeves are a little long. I'm still working on it. I like to knit in my spare time to just quell my thoughts a bit. So I'm in my room. I've done my morning exercises, my evening exercises, sorry. I've done about 100 tongue presses just to get ready, just to make sure that my tongue's ready to go, because unfortunately I'm a bit too small to use any of the armor that a synth knight might use, so I rely on my natural talents and abilities. And at this point, I'm probably making a meal for my roommate when he wakes up.
Great. So, yeah, so, Saul, you are wearing, like, this sweater. I'll say it's, like, a blue one because the Synth Eldritch Knights, the colors of Ezri, the knights wear, like, these, like, crackling magic blue plate. That's what the A classes and the S classes wear.
God, it looks so good.
It looks so fucking cool.
Resplendent.
The B, C, and D classes don't have an exact uniform. They just wear the colors of Ezri. So they just wear the dark blue. So you went through the whole program. You got your monostone implanted. Where is your monostone?
I think mine is proudly implanted over my heart, kind of like a badge or an emblem.
That was definitely so dangerous, and the doctors and scientists were like, please don't make me do this, son.
If I die, I die. I give it all for Ezri, as they say.
And you were exposed to this magic, and unfortunately, it did not manifest in the way that the school wanted it
yet.
To.
It didn't manifest yet.
Did not manifest yet.
Still time.
Simmering.
You do have magic powers, but you're maybe not as like cookie cutter as the other knights. They want it to be very uniform. They're looking for a very particular type of soldier.
Right.
So as you get ready, you've just made food for your roommate. and you do see that your roommate was not sleeping. Your roommate was at work. So your roommate, Albin Penbrook, enters the apartment. He's wearing an ill-fitting suit. It's like a little too big. He's got a loosened tie. His hair, he's got like this kind of mop top. Hair looks a little disheveled and his glasses are askew. Steps one foot in the door, drops his messenger bag. Oh, so,
Albie!
Hey, buddy.
How was your day? Any good quests?
Quests? No, I'm...
Who did you defeat?
You know I'm not a knight like you, Saul.
Oh, no, but you're a grand wizard.
No, that's in
a
the
high mage.
That's in the KKK, I think.
Oh, my God.
I heard that. I was like, oh.
No.
You're right. Just a cool mage.
Right. I'm a mothership mage, which means I spend all day enchanting items. Today, I enchanted toilet paper for 12 hours. I cast a sustained prestidigitation cantrip on rolls of toilet paper so that people might wipe their bum once and then get shit on it, and then the shit would disappear.
Right.
And then they could wipe again, and it would be clean itself.
Saul puts a hand on Albin's hand and says, think about how much comfort you have brought to the assholes of Ezri.
Thank you, Saul. You always have a way of looking at the good side of things.
Be buoyed, my friend.
Thank you.
Be buoyed.
I see you've made me dinner. Thank you so much.
Yes, it's three types of spaghetti. Which one do you want? Alfredo, carbonara,
all of them. Just put them all together.
Oh, I'll do that. Alvin special.
See, he comes over, just starts
spaghetti salad.
Just starts.
God, the dream.
Just starts eating this disgusting spaghetti. Just this very sad dude and his frog friend. And you, Albin, was this like brilliant boy wizard who you went to the Launchpad Academy with him, and you were the boy wizard and his frog pal, and you guys went on all these great adventures together and kind of just got chewed up and spit out, but you are very much like keeping your kind of sunny persona.
Best years of our life until now, until right now.
Yes, yes. Listen, I do have some good news for you though, Saul.
Oh.
I've heard a rumor that they're making more S-class synths.
Oh. Really?
And believe it or not, you may actually be eligible.
You don't say.
Yeah, because from what I hear from the talk around the toilet paper table, some of the other more important mages, you know, it trickles down. It's not all shit on toilet paper.
It shouldn't trickle down. The toilet paper's not working if it's trickling.
Yes. Normally, when it comes to magic upgrades with your monostone, you're exposed to more and more magic as you graduate up the classes. You're given a base level at D class, then a little more at C, all the way up to A. They see how you respond to it, and then you graduate as you earn it. It's considered incredibly dangerous to jump classes, but apparently these S classes are different. They think the technology is strong enough to effectively patch the entire military and bring everyone up.
We're all going S?
I don't know. I mean, let's face it. If they're going to test the new stuff on anyone, it would most likely be someone like you.
Right. Someone who can handle it.
Exactly.
Someone with a lot of potential.
That's right. Make a good impression, I guess. Do it for both of us, because I'll be on the toilet paper rolls.
When I'm done, I promise I will help you get promoted to bidets.
Oh, please, Saul. All right. Why don't you get off to work?
Will do.
I will be here drunk when you get back.
I've prepared a series of pre-batched cocktails. They are in the fridge.
He goes over, cracks open a cocktail.
Saul hops out the window and gets to work.
Yes. There's a perfectly normal door. Opens the window and just leaps out. Falls like 30 feet.
He said ribbit.
There's a scream that's let out.
I cast slow fall as a reaction, but still get pretty hurt.
Emily. Your character is also getting ready for your shift. Do you want to describe sort of your living situation and how you're getting ready for work?
Okay. Calliope Patchicor is a rainy day Eladrin who's currently on the run from her criminal family in the Feywild, but also going through a really messy breakup. She's unstable, brimming with emotions that are just absolutely spilling out everywhere. She's basically a full rainbow of emotions in a little pint glass of a girl. She's got blue hair in a bubble ponytail, sea glass sunnies, a raw bit of song lyrics she had tattooed on her forearm after her breakup, and an umbrella with a really sharp tip.
Yes!
And I live in a belfry of my friend who's also a criminal. He's very modest, so I think I wake up. I'm working with a therapist named Jessica on my breakup and individuating myself and developing a bit of understanding of who I am outside of my relationships. And so I get up, I try to do a little meditating. I stare at my journal that says, like, who am I in double letters with just nothing written underneath it. And I stare at it and I think. I get really angry, really fucking angry. I say, get it together, Callie! And I do some really emotional fast sun salutations. And then I cast disguise self on myself to maybe look like I'm not crying and just weep behind my disguised self. As I just plod down my little belfry spiral staircase wetly.
I really like emo yoga. I think
that's a mood.
So Callie, yeah, you have a slightly different situation than Saul. Your problem has been that like your powers have manifested themselves, so they become more dangerous as you get kind of more emotional. Like you become kind of more powerful with your emotions, and you're having a hard time controlling that right now. Callie, as you leave the bell tower and enter the actual chapel, you enter this wide room with tall ceilings. You see there's an altar in front with a stage and a statue of Moradin, the dwarf Ooh. God.
I do like a sign of a cross, but making a dwarf
like
beard.
Like a sign of the hammer?
No, a dwarf beard.
Just making a beard, okay. Yeah. In the pews, you do see a priest. You see Forge Father Krugen.
Krugen?
Krugen.
Forge Father Krugen.
He is a quote-unquote priest of Moradin, who is using the church as a front to commit crime within the bubble.
Which I respect.
Which you, of course, respect. Yeah, you see that he's this gray-bearded dwarf in a black clerical frock, and he's talking to a hobgoblin in one of the pews. This goblin has like dark orange skin, long black hair, has a duster over a dirty breastplate. You see he has like a sword at his side. Definitely looks like a tough dude. They've just exchanged some kind of package. And as you enter the room, you see both her eyes shoot up and
I'm very loud as I enter.
As soon as you enter.
It sounds like squeaky wet tennis shoes.
As you squeak in, you hear the hobgoblin goes, they're here. And Krugen holds his hand up and like holds the hobgoblin back and goes,
whoa. Don't worry. She's not actually with the mothership. She's a friend. Because you're wearing the uniform. Callie, when you walk in here, you're scaring my parishioners a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not working for the mothership. I'm going to a parade, and this is my costume.
Right, yeah. No, she's my girl on the inside. Yeah.
Betty. Oh, I didn't know if he knew. I didn't say it.
We're doing crime right now. Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually from a very famous...
Don't tell anyone who you are.
Okay.
I bow wetly.
Bow wetly. You see this guy looks like pretty steamed, whispers something in Krugen's ear, and then walks off.
Krugen, what is going on?
Somebody he needed to pray to the hammer. I was giving him a package, all right? I'm smuggling stuff, you know this.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, I looked into that thing that you wanted me to look into, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're speaking in a lot of sort of veiled language, but I'm following.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, we gotta talk in veiled language, you know, because of the things we do, yeah.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So look, I looked into what you were asking me about, and it turns out that your family has indeed put a bounty out on you. Yeah, but,
Okay. This is fine. I can integrate this information in my sense of self. Actually, right. This might be really good for me. What was the price? Because that might help me understand sort of like my self-worth, you know? Because I'm actually trying to
navigate it. We're basing our self-worth on the bounty now, yeah. So I've got good news and I've got bad news because it's 35 gold, yeah.
30?
Which, if you think about it...
Five?
Maybe it's
I spent more on my fucking shoes than 35!
That's the thing. I didn't even think for a second about giving you up, yeah. For that,
right? I would hope you wouldn't think of doing it for anything. We've been living together for how long? I'm crying again. But you can't see because I've cast disguise self on myself. You can't see it. But you must notice that so much water is pouring out my shoes.
You're very clearly keeping it together, okay?
Okay.
Here's the thing, though, is that this is most likely your family trying to get a rise out of you, yeah. So if anything, they care a lot. Because they're trying to piss you off, right?
That's not...
Because it's like triple reverse psychology, right? They're putting the bounty out, low bounty, to make you feel bad.
That is how my family expresses their love. Yes, I get it, okay? I get it.
I'm saying it's a bad thing. I'm on your side here.
Okay, is it just me or is this actually a terrible thing now? Because now I'm going to have low-grade assassins coming after me, which means they're not even going to kill me. They're just going to hurt me and do a bad job. And there's going to be a dime a dozen.
As you say that, go ahead and give me a perception check.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, I'm actually really good at that. So it shouldn't be a problem. Never mind, I have a +3.
Level 5, that's what it is.
13.
You hear sounds coming from upstairs, like in your room.
A belfry? Okay, 1 minute. I run as fast up the belfry stairs as I can without slipping on all the water.
You run up the stairs, and as you get up there, you see that someone has indeed entered your room. You see a little duck sitting on top of your diary, white and fluffy with an orange beak.
Is the window open?
No.
What the fuck? Where? Hello? Can I fucking help you?
Just sits there looking at you.
Are you a fucking low-grade assassin come to off me? Because if you are, you might as well fucking get out of your duck form and take out your fucking sword and we'll have it out.
You see, goes over and just basically like kind of imprints on you, like if like a duckling gets lost like away from its mom.
Oh, what the fuck? Okay, here's the deal. I'm just going to level with you. I'm currently working with my therapist, Jessica. Kind of fucking hate her. And on a little process called individuation, okay?
Where?
So okay. You're interrupting a lot. So it's important for me to understand myself outside of relationships. So if I'm going to work on my codependency, I can't be taken on a fucking dependent. Get it?
Where?
Okay. Well, you know what? Your legs are fucking tiny. I like to see you try to come up and I run.
As you start running, it just starts flapping and flying.
Oh, my wings!
Follows you, and you do have to get to work. So you do leave. And then we are going to go ahead and cut over to Jake.
Jake's not the duck?
Jake, believe it or not, is not the duck.
Okay, no. Weird. Okay.
I'm going to... So here's the thing, Jake. Your character is actually doing something slightly different than the other guys. I'm throwing you something different here.
Okay.
You have been summoned to the mothership for a meeting.
Lucky.
Oh, wow. You had to take a cable car up to this huge...
Oh, you're so lucky. Get the window seat.
I've been saving up for a coin all month.
Starting off strong.
You guys take cable cars all the time. It's very normal.
Yeah, but not to the mothership.
What a scene.
That's true. You take a cable car up to this huge air yacht. You've only been in there a few times. You are brought to a lobby, which is this huge room with high ceilings. You see the walls are sleek and white and spotless. There's all this impressive magical technology around, floating orbs that are projecting news from around the city. You see a bunch of stories about the dragon elf attack on the S-Synths, and tributes to Beatrix Netherin, this elite Ezri warrior. And you see that she has bright red eyes in the picture. And you have definitely never met Beatrix because she's just on a way higher level than you for lack of a better description.
Yeah, she rules we suck.
You are in this lobby. There's all these like animated brooms sweeping and cleaning, enchanted instruments playing soothing lobby music while important looking mages in crisp robes hustle by.
Oh, man.
As you're sitting here waiting to like check into reception, what does your character look like and kind of what is he doing?
Okay. 7'7".
Here we fucking go!
Broad, barrel-chested. With a close-cropped blue beard and swept-back blue hair.
With all the blue hair!
Yeah. Calder Kilday, even though he's one of the biggest guys in Ezri, holds himself like he's small. He's a half-giant, the smallest of his people, and he was always fiercely protected. So he's made his way down to Ezri, where he can finally make a name for himself. I guess leading into this meeting, I polished the heavy plate that I've cobbled together. I have a really cool antlered helm.
Whoa.
That sick. That I didn't have the courage to wear to the meeting. So I just borrowed another one. So I'm sitting on a chair that's way too small for me. Like it fits.
Yeah, you see that there's a bigger chair available, but you think that maybe one of your brothers or sisters would be more appropriate.
It's for a big guy.
You're sitting just next to a little halfling in the halfling seat. Hey!
Hi.
you are eventually snapped up by a receptionist and brought to a conference room where, to your surprise, the CEO of Mothership is waiting for you. It is a shock. It's like being like, hey, we want to do a screen test for this movie, and you walk in and it's just you and Martin Scorsese. Immediately your gut is just punched. You see this halfling woman in a red pantsuit that kind of looks like a mage robe at the top. This is Patina Glenbottle. She is reportedly in her late 60s, but she does not look a day over 45.
Really?
She is a tight grandma.
Oh, God is good.
We got the tight grandma.
My husband feeds me.
She's, and I eat the scraps.
She's got like a tall beehive hairstyle and a bold red lip. You see, as you walk in, she's sitting down on the other end of a conference table. It's like very long. She's looking at a clipboard, and she looks up and she goes, Caldwell, is it?
Really, really close. Almost close enough. Calder. Calder Kilday.
Calder, right. Sit down. Sit down, Calder.
I am.
Right, okay. Calder, I'm going to cut to the chase here. We're making more S-class synths. And I'm looking at your file. And I'm seeing the numbers that I like. You're 7'7".
Yes.
400 pounds.
That's correct.
6% body fat.
Yeah. We're going to work on that. I can get it down to 5. And
we don't need that. We don't want you to be unhealthy here. Look, how are you a D-synth? Because I'm seeing here that the other members of your squad, one of them couldn't handle the weaponry or equipment, and the other one was unstable powers and injured one of the proctors, but you, as I see here, failed to light a campfire, is it?
I can light a campfire in the standard way, with wood and flints.
With wood and flints. Okay,
right.
Here's the
with
thing.
With a little gear,
okay.
I can get a campfire
okay. Look,
going.
More reliably than others.
Listen,
yes, Calder, look at me.
Calder, yes.
Calder, right. Look at me. I wasn't born yesterday.
Right.
I have a child, and my child has a child. Okay?
Wow.
I'm a grandma. Okay?
Wow.
You can have it all.
Truly floored.
You can
to learn that.
Okay? Listen, I was not born yesterday, even though I look like I was. I don't need you to light fire the regular way.
Yes.
We spent money. We implanted a monostone in you.
And it was an honor.
And you should be able to cast the magic.
I should.
It's very simple. You're able to do much more advanced things. Tell you what. New test right now. Light my pipe and I will fast track you. You see she kicks her feet up and pulls out a pipe.
Can't believe you look like that and you smoke. I called.
Just go ahead. Just light the pipe.
Yeah.
Just called her. Easy. Just searches. any fire cantrip you have.
I search my pockets for a flint.
No, once again, the flint. We're not going to do that.
Sure.
Right. Just the magic that we put in you.
So the I'll go for. I'm going to cast. I'm going to do my absolute best to conjure a flame.
Okay.
Shouldn't be that hard.
Right, it isn't.
Why don't you let me hold the pipe? I would hate to do it while it's in your mouth.
What?
Okay, why don't we go awry?
I'll meet you halfway.
Okay.
You see, she walks down, places the pipe in the table in the middle. Okay. Light the pipe.
Calder grips his fist and feels magic surging through his veins, only to feel the heat disappear and his hand becomes a fist of ice as he casts Ray of Frost.
Spray this Ray of Frost completely cake the conference table. Patina's hit with all this frost. You see, she doesn't flinch. She just goes, all right, Calder, we'll be in touch. You're D-class, right? You should be getting to your shift, probably.
Yes, if I can have one more chance,
That won't be necessary.
Okay. Thank you.
You see, as you walk out, you see another 7'7" guy.
Oh, no.
I cower out of the way of him.
Excuse me, sir.
Saul is in the locker room looking at his watch and being like, is it daylight savings time? What's going on?
So you guys all come together. You guys are all the same squad. You guys are this D-class squad of synth eldritch knights.
Hey, Callie, what's with the duck?
Oh, you notice? I don't really know.
What's your deal, duck?
You know what, Calder? Actually, since you brought it up, I need you to kill the duck.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Calder walks over to the duck.
Whoa! Hey!
Excuse me.
Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Keep it. Leave it out of the way.
Well, it's a duck, so it's D-class as well. It's perfect.
Oh.
It could be our mascot.
That's good.
A mallard mascot.
We need a little something extra, I think, if we're going to catch the attention of the higher-ups.
I'm glad that you're thinking that, because on my way here, I was like, how the fuck are we going to get out of fucking shit like we are?
I got bad news. It's not any better when you have their attention.
What? What happened?
I just came from Mothership. What?
Tell us.
Saul's running in circles around him.
Did you meet Bettina?
Did you know she's a grandmother?
Is she as tight as they say?
What?
Tighter.
Oh!
Tighter still.
I think I'm crying again.
Saul punches a wall.
I do some angry yoga.
They're giving everyone another chance. They're giving us a chance again. But I blew it.
Did you do the...
The ice.
Yeah. Ice again?
Mm-hmm. Why is that the fucking basic thing?
Did you tell him about the flint and tinder?
I said, right up top.
You just pull it out of your pocket.
It's not that hard.
You actually make a really quick campfire.
We learned up north, that's right.
Yeah. When we were up there getting rid of the frozen sewage system. That was a bad trip. I didn't love that one.
Yeah, so you guys have been getting really bad jobs. So you guys all report to this small security tower in the middle of the trade district. This place is bustling. Imagine sort of a steampunk Times Square, if you will.
Wow.
There are all these lit up enchanted signs that illuminate the many bars, restaurants, and shops. Most of them are owned by Mothership. A lot of them are called Mothership mini ships and sell magical items, just like everyday stuff.
Hold my purse. I'm going to buy something.
Yeah, I got to pop in.
Take my purse.
I got to pop into the Mother and Mother store. I got to get some M&Ms.
Calder grabs the purse. It looks like a clutch.
You guys run in. You buy useless things that you don't need. You buy an endless bag of socks.
The discount is too good to ignore.
Yeah. Give me a bag.
The hit of dopamine I get from spending money.
At the security tower, you guys, unfortunately, are going to be relieving some of the previous guards here, and you recognize a squad of C-class synths led by this hardy dwarf woman named Gifford. She goes, well, well, well. Looks like it's time for a demotion.
Leave us alone.
Okay.
Leave us alone, Gifford. We're not in the mood.
All right. So I'm going to go to bed at a normal-ass time because I'm C-class.
Yeah, enjoy not having a duck, you idiot.
You have a...
We have a duck. We're D-Squad. We're duck squad.
No, of course we don't have a duck. That'd be so weird.
Yeah, we got a duck, and it's our mascot, and we love
duck?
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Would you have a cat because you're C-Squad?
Yeah, I have a cat at home.
That sounds lovely. What's their name?
Pet. My cat's name is Bubbles, after the bubble, after the Esri bubble.
That's clever as hell. I feel like we got off on the wrong foot. I would love to meet your cat one day.
Yeah. Maybe we should fucking hang out, Soul, instead of you hanging out with these other people.
Why can't we all hang out? You're dividing lines that don't need to be there. We're all working for the good of the people of this city.
Gifford, I'm just going to cut to the chase. What's today been like? What are we taking over?
Well,
what are you on
We
us?
Pretty much cleaned up the streets over here. We had a 12-year-old trying to steal some of the endless toilet paper.
Oh, God.
And we're able to, Albie worked so hard on that.
We're able to get the toilet paper back.
It's
but the 12-year-old
really
got away.
Oh.
Fast.
We're gonna be cleaning up some TP.
Yeah. So
great. So all the excitement for the day is done, and that was it. So settle in, guys.
All right.
Gifford walks away, giving Saul a death stare. Like, really, like really focuses in on Saul. Everybody give me an insight check. Okay. Mm.
That's a nat 20.
That's Holy a nat shit. 20 for me
what?
As well.
Whoa!
Wow. Wow.
Gifford is...
I got a 7.
A 7?
Whoa. Oh, my God. Get over here.
With my nat 20, I want to know something Gifford is embarrassed
Great.
About.
Okay. With the two people with the nat 20s realize instantly that Gifford is in love with Saul. And Calder, you just assume that Gifford hates Saul.
Okay, so we should case to make her jealous.
Okay.
Okay, I turn to Saul and I make out with him. What? I just, as I'm going in, I say, go with it, trust me.
Saul gets really nervous and accidentally ejects his tongue.
Oh my God.
I fall.
You fall back.
What is going on today?
As Saul and Callie make out, Gifford fucking punches a wall and keeps talking.
I just wanted to get under her skin.
I don't think I'm the rebound you need.
Yeah.
You guys feel where are everybody's monostones? Mm. Saul's is over his heart. Mm-hmm. But for everybody, they're kind of like they're like tattoos almost. They're like implants, but they stick out of your skin.
Right. So Sick. As I said, I'm going through a breakup, so mine is definitely in my tummy button. Okay.
So you have a gem there, like a troll doll.
Oh, wow.
I have a really cute little punchy tummy.
Mine's in the bicep. Classic.
Right.
Classic.
Yeah. It's not regulation, the exposed midriff, but I will allow it because it's
cute.
It's
where my power comes from.
So your guys... monostones begin to glow. I guess Callie's kind of like a Care Bear. You guys each have a beam that comes out from your monostones.
Saul definitely blacks out a little bit every time his buzzes.
Yeah, it's in your heart. You feel all the heart. Yeah, all the blood goes to it somehow.
I can always tell when they're about to shine.
Your heart starts beating way too fast. It's terrible. You guys see small beams shoot from your stones and create a projection of this person named Alexandrite. This is Ooh. The mothership AI who gives out missions to the soldiers. She is a purple, reddish figure with mechanical flourishes that makes her look sort of like a synthetic dryad. And she looks out at all of you and goes, "Greetings, D-Team. There is an important mission for you."
We're Duck Team now.
D-Team. D-Synths.
We're working on the title.
Duck Team. Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to stick right away.
It works for Alexandra, and I'm just saying, like, that's two votes.
Putting into system. Duck Team. Permanent.
Please don't, because we the duck, I promise you, the duck isn't going to be here for very long, right? Duck.
We hadn't discussed it internally.
Because I don't have the emotional capacity to care for someone else right now.
Saul is measuring the duck for a sweater.
Start measuring the duck for a sweater. Alexandrite laughs politely. Haha, you are all so funny and entertaining.
Honestly, I'm so starved for attention that works. Thank you.
There is an important mission for you. 2,022 feet to the northeast at Strixer's Elixirs.
Strixer's Elixirs. And that'll just be beamed into our emblems?
You guys know Strixer's Elixirs as being a combination potion store / chemistry lab and warehouse. It's got a dock in the back that feeds out to a series of cable cars that lead up to the mothership.
Important mission?
Every mission is important. Dock workers at Strixer's Elixirs are in danger.
Yes.
That sounds good.
Let's go.
Are they covered in toilet paper or are they actually in danger?
There are rats on the docks and they are scared of the rats.
Okay.
And it's slowing down an important shipment.
All right, okay.
Please get rid of the little rats.
Yes.
Okay. You didn't need to say little.
The rats are
you
little.
Didn't need to
They're
say little. Okay.
Now little just, tiny rats for D just, class.
The assumption was there.
Yeah. Compare between me and Calder. How big are the rats?
We're the same size.
Even smaller than Calder.
Wow. Wow, that hurt all of us.
Okay. We'll go clean up the rats.
Okay.
Should we take a cable car?
There's not really a direct line, but we're not doing anything else.
Should we take the...
You guys leave the trade district on a cable car. It's night, so you see the lights of all of the airships going by.
God, they're all doing such important things.
It's so pretty.
I love seeing those.
Only we could be a little bit higher status, right?
Yeah. Just a little.
Just a little.
I would love to ride on an airship sometime.
Me too.
You know, I've actually thought about, like, piloting one day. That seems fun. You know?
You'd be amazing.
You think so?
From everything you just did in my mouth. You know
that. That is true. I could use my hands to pilot it, and then I could use my tongue to switch all the gears and levers.
Yeah.
I put that on my resume, but they didn't go. It didn't work.
I try to shut the door, the cable car door, before the duck gets it.
You see the duck flies after the cable car.
Oh, fine. I open it and let him in.
Comes in.
All right. Okay, so we'll take this, and then we'll take the crosstown, and then we'll take the other cable car back.
Yeah.
Should we prep? Should we just, like, get our heads straight for what we're doing when we get there?
I kind of just want to stare out the window and daydream.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Can we swing by my place? I have to pick up my helm.
I was wondering.
I didn't want to be too showy at Mothership.
You should have been showy.
You can't be strutting around with a fucking helm in your D-team like that.
It adds 6 inches minimum.
Do you know what I was thinking, though? Okay, they call us D-Simps, which sounds like decent, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like a compliment.
When you say it, yeah.
What's that mean?
No.
I immediately get so insecure and start crying again.
Oh, no, your disguised self is breaking.
Forgive the puddle.
You see that as you do that, the duck hops in your lap.
Oh my God, it's a comfort animal.
That sounds like really good for someone else.
Pick
it up here. Maybe, put it in the puddle.
No, wait, try petting its feathers.
Deal with any fucking commitments right now.
You don't have to commit. I'll hold it.
I pet the duck, and then the duck says, actually, I'm another girlfriend and I never liked you, and then he leaves me.
Duck, are you seeing anyone else? Are you
That's clearly a yes.
Are you emotionally available? I don't know, I trust it.
I don't trust the duck. You can have it.
We're all sharing the duck because we're duck team, but you need the duck right now.
No. I'm fine. All right. I'm good. I'm great. I'm awesome. I'm chill. I'm calm.
This is the New York equivalent of you had a mission on like 50th Street and you were on 42nd Street and you like went to Brooklyn and
came
back.
If that's the case, I definitely pick up a falafel and eat it really messily on the subway.
You guys eat on the train car. You go back. You get Calder's helm.
Saul is holding a pizza sideways.
Yeah. And I live in Queens.
You guys head off after taking a really roundabout way.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
You find yourself at Strixer's Elixirs. It is nighttime. It's all lit up. You see this huge potion warehouse. I'll say at this point, you guys have been gone for like a bit. The store is kind of closing up for the night. But you travel through an alley and reach the back of the building, and there are these airship docks. You see there's also freight cable cars with pallets and boxes traveling up and down. One particular cable car with a big wooden box on it is beset by rats. You see a bunch of workers are just staring at it and shaking their heads. You see a foreman with a clipboard walks up to you and goes like, "You the synths they sent? You guys took like an hour and a half. I heard you were just around the corner."
Yeah. We had to get our equipment. It was very important.
We had to get our ducks in a row. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
We brought you.
That's hilarious. Yeah, so we got a bunch of rats here. So if you can just get the rats.
Get the rats, sure.
Okay. Yeah. So this sounds like a really important... We're probably going to be doing like a lot of like really dangerous magic, so you might want to send your employees home.
For the whole night? Because we need to get this to the mothership.
Can they take like an hour break maybe?
They should just stand out of the way.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we do a 15-minute break? They stand out of the way.
That's great.
Or you clear out the rat.
Union-sanctioned 15 minutes for sure.
You guys see this foreman yells for the workers to back off of the cable car. You see that there's all of these rats around. And you see that a few of them are like up on top of the cable car. And after these dudes back up, you suddenly see four of them on top of the car, whoosh, transform into like rat folk rogues, bite into the back two cables, and the cable car drops, and you see it start swinging down, like dropping hundreds of feet down. Everybody go ahead and roll initiative.
Oh, yeah. We got our wish.
Are they're staying on the cable car?
They're like staying on, they're like swinging on it like Tarzan. Like it's essentially like connected in four parts. The back two get bit off, the cable snaps. From the air dock, the cable car drops, but it's still connected at the front too, starts swinging down.
And just so I understand, is the main thing that there's people on these cable cars?
No, it's the shipment.
It's like a shipment. Okay.
It looks like they're trying to steal whatever's on
there.
It's a
shipping container.
Yep.
Okay. Folks, we're back. That's a natural one.
Very nice. I got a 21.
A 10.
Okay. That's going to be a 5 with my initiative, though.
Nice dex.
Yeah, I got good dex now.
Sweet. At initiative 21, that is Calder. Calder, you see, I will say, these guys effectively got like a surprise round. So normally you could fall like 500 feet in a round. I'll say it's being slowed down a lot by there's like other cables around and stuff, and it's kind of like crashing through. It's also still connected in the front, so it's like it's swinging. It's not completely falling. Mm-hmm. I will say it has fallen about 100 feet already, though. It is like down deep.
Ooh. I mean, we have to get onto it. I'm going to jump.
Are you going to try to grab on to anything, or are you going to... So there's other like cables, like there's other cable cars around and stuff. You could try to snap something and like swing after it.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'll do.
Great.
I'm gonna,
nice.
Yeah, any one of those severed cables that might be on like a similar trajectory.
Rad. Yeah, you go over, you find another cable that's not connected to anything, that's just like a support beam for this one that just fell. You cut it as a free action, and you swing. I will say, go ahead and make acrobatics or athletics to try to catch up with this swinging cart.
Wow, this is the most excitement I've ever seen. Oh, hell yeah. That's a 26.
Yeah, you successfully do it. I'll say with just your movement, you run over, cut this one cord, grab onto it, swing down. You guys had talked about being on these cable cars. You had talked about being on these airships. Now you are swinging through the air. You see all the lights of Ezri around you. Mm. You see these four rat folk rogues that are on top of this like shipping container swinging down, and you are able to catch up to it and get on top of it.
Hell yes.
Hey, what the fuck are you doing, man? Who cares? You're gonna die for this? You're D-class.
Oh, I draw my sword. As I unsheath it, it gets coated in frost. And
Hey, you're D-class. You're D-class. Why? What are they paying you?
I'm duck team.
go ahead and make an attack.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Shout out to the two crew.
Delicious.
You've just done this like insane like 100, 200 foot swing. You land directly on it. You deliver this awesome line. You feel fucking great. And for a split second, you look at these little rat folks and you go, is that how short I look?
Oh, no.
And then you go to swing into them and it throws you off. But we have started this campaign at fifth level, so you have a second attack.
I do.
There we go.
Okay. It was the antlered helm. It sort of covered one of my eyes. Flip it over. That's
it was
a
your
three.
Brother's.
No!
Are you kidding me?
Jesus Lord.
Room to okay. grow. Room to grow.
You swing twice, but you are on top of this cart with them.
So I miss twice, fall over, and I say, stand down.
After, I will say it is already, I'll say that it took the surprise round for it to essentially cut free. It fell through some other wires and stuff going down. It fell about, what did I say, 200 feet down?
Mm-hmm.
It fell 200 feet down. It's not going to move again until next round, so you guys have the same opportunity.
Great.
But that is the four rats' turns.
Oh, dear.
And you are down there with them.
No.
They are going to go, all right, if you want to die for this, they surround you, and they are going to stab into you with knives.
They're right. Rogues. Fuck.
First one attacks. Ooh, just a 11 hit.
That misses.
Attacks you with a dagger. You dodge out of the way.
Whoa.
Second one, another 10.
Cool it.
Damn, you're more acrobatic than I thought you would be. You're huge, man.
Really?
Next one, as you say, really, next one gets a 22 and stabs you in the back. Yeah, you fucking moron.
As I say really, I raise my hand up and it forms a wall of ice and I cast shield.
Yeah, whoa! My man.
So my AC is now 23.
Yes, okay, he misses.
Slinging spells.
Wall of shield, wall of ice there, crazy. Last guy goes, he's gotta get like a 19 or 20, misses. Pinks off the wall of ice as you guys swing down. Callie, that is your turn.
Okay, so am I down there?
No.
I want to try to get down there.
Great, yeah, yeah. Do you want to like swing on something or do you want to use a spell? What do you want to do?
I have phase step, which will get me 60 feet.
So you could literally jump and then phase step to get closer.
Great, I do that. I think my phase step looks like I implode into water and then like reappear as water.
Insane. So Callie, you also just had this night where you were just like, man, it'd be great to ride on an airship. You guys usually are like, you guys have literally had nights where you've like unclogged toilets. It's like insane the shit they send you guys
most
to do.
Most nights.
But finally, Callie, a challenge!
Callie, you jump off, you get within 30 feet free falling, and then you face step to land safely right on top of the cargo as it's flying down.
Oh, can I see what cargo is?
No, it's in like a sealed wooden box, like the type that would be like nailed shut.
Am I near the rats?
Oh yeah, you're right there with
Calvin. I'm in the scrum.
Hey, what are you stealing? We need the stuff.
What stuff?
The things, the juice. We want the juice.
You know what?
We're gonna mix up a new juice with all this stuff. Are you kidding me? What the fuck are you doing here?
What are you gonna do
for this company? Why?
I'm currently sort of noodling that in my head, so I'm going to take all of these negative feelings and transfer them to him, and I'm going to use my cantrip, Doomblade.
As you cast your cantrip, Doomblade, and you start to get, like, emotional and angry, you see the duck flaps down next to you, like, jumps down with you, starts going, wah, wah, wah.
Like he's helping me?
Or like yelling at the rats.
Oh! All right, fuck yeah, you can stick around.
Yeah!
And I'm going to try to make an attack.
Duck squad.
17 on the die.
Yeah, that's going to hit
25.
A little rat
okay.
dude.
I'm also going to sort of like, as this is happening, this tempestuous magic is taking hold of me. I'm going to also smite and
yes.
flourish.
Ooh,
Jesus Christ, both? Well,
yeah, why not?
Why not both?
Someone's
it's
hitting.
The
That's
first
good.
Fight. Why not?
You just swang over them is the problem. You're very tall.
I thought we were the same size.
Hey, look, it's like a fucking twin.
Gally, don't listen to them. Their words cut deep.
35.
My you God. See, as Callie starts to get upset, swings in, there's this explosive smite. The power surge from your monostone in your belly goes throughout your whole body as you yell. There's this like static, there's like this crazy like lightning charge that explodes. This like fury that Mothership was afraid of while you were training. You injured one of your proctors while doing your test.
I look at Calder like really embarrassed because this is what got me onto the D. The D team.
No, I you, think what you're doing now.
You blow up one of the rat's heads and almost completely destroy the other one. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. Why?
Stand down. She's with me.
Oh. We're all with the duck. After Callie, you guys see on initiative 9. Mm. You see that as you guys are fighting on top of this falling cable car, you see a getaway airship appears from out of the clouds.
What's on the sides of it? What's it say on the side?
It looks like a shitty ship, like the equivalent of like a flying forklift. It looks like it's for like freight. Aboard it is another ratfolk rogue piloting it. And you see a big buff ratfolk. You see these dudes are like stealing potions from Mothership. It looks like these guys are maybe modding on their own. You see there's a big buff ratfolk rogue with an extremely infected monostone in his chest.
Oh, do we know that guy?
You have no idea who this is.
Wait, that's
Where'd
the juice.
Where'd you get that, Virginia Beach?
No, I got it from fucking here. Did you kill one of our friends?
Maybe, but it's only because you wouldn't tell me what you were stealing.
You see, this dude, this big buff dude, has like a magic cannon with like explosives.
Whoa.
There's two dudes down here that are like there to like pick up this like package.
Yeah. We're breaking up a heist.
I'll say they see big Calder. Calder, you probably don't realize that they're shooting at you because you're big and intimidating. You think it's just because you have bad luck.
Yeah.
So the big guy is going to go
ahead.
Don't
bother little old me.
I'm gonna say the one guy that came with him has to concentrate on flying the ship because he used his action to like fly it up.
Mm-hmm.
Other dude is gonna shoot at you with this like magic cannon, this like arquebus that like shoots out a burst of magic.
Okay, so I my umbrella that I just attacked with, I think I flick it out so that it goes out like a shield, and I'm gonna impose disadvantage because I'm a protection paladin.
Oh my god!
I totally just cower behind Callie.
Calder, you drop down behind this umbrella that gets, you see like as the big bolt of energy comes towards you, an arcane shield comes up, like widens out from the umbrella and blocks it, and it deflects off.
Can I say that it like comes out like raindrops, but then when it interacts with your iciness, it like almost like freezes?
Oh, like
another ice firework.
Shield. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Frozen ice drops?
Yeah. God.
Sick.
Thank God that umbrella is the same size as me.
And Saul, I'll say you're so excited. You've just watched all of this, the most exciting stuff that's ever happened in your life.
Here we go. I'm like psyching myself up, like ready to go, and then I notice that they've already jumped. Oh, okay. All right, here we go. So it's like 100 feet away.
Yeah, it's I think it's 200 feet, but I'll give you the same deal that I gave Calder, which is that this car got caught up in some of the cables on the way down. You will be faster if you like swing on something.
Is there a parallel cable track?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, what I want to do is I'm going to, as a bonus action, activate my spectral gauntlets. Which is my astral monk ability. You see this like psychic metal forms around my arms, and then I have these like massive fists made of metal on. And I want to run to one of these cables and grab onto it and zip line down. And then at the moment where I'm like adjacent with the cable car, flip myself over and land on the cable car.
As he does this, I lean over to a rat and I'm like, I just tongued down my throat today.
Who the fuck are you people? Go ahead.
You want to give up now?
Do athletics or acrobatics.
Okay.
It's true. I saw it.
Acrobatics is very good for me. I will do that. Hell yeah, that's a 22.
Flip right down there. You are down there. You see one is on death's door. Cleave rules are in effect. We did that with Callie. Same applies to you.
When I activate my gauntlets, I do get to do a area of effect attack.
Yeah.
Can I go and do that now?
Of course.
Okay, so everyone's, all of the rats within 10 feet of me are going to need to make a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. Here's a question. Actually, do you want to land on the airship with the big dude and the guy piloting it, or do you want to be on with the three guys and Calder and,
I'm worried about my team.
Got it. Okay. So you jump down. They're going to go ahead and do dexterity saving throws.
Great. DC 15.
Ooh, okay. First guy fails.
Yes.
Second guy fails.
Yes.
These guys are pretty good decks, but they all failed.
All three fail?
Yep, all three failed.
That is going to be 2d6 damage.
Okay.
That's going to be 9 damage.
You land. You Iron Man punch.
Hell yeah.
Just astral energy comes out all around you. One of these guys is completely blown off, dies, falls off. Fuck me!
After that happens, I say, we can talk about this.
Yeah, two people have been killed. And the other two guys look pretty fucked up by that.
Okay, so that's my movement. Wow. And that is my bonus action.
Great.
You know what? I do feel a little bad about going in so aggressively. I think I am going to try and restrain someone. I'm going to use my tongue whip.
Okay.
Which is a reflavored thorn whip.
Great.
So I flick out my tongue at one of the rats.
Okay.
And let me see if I hit. 17.
17 hits.
Fantastic. So that's going to be another 2d6 damage, and then I pull them 10 feet toward me.
Jesus Christ.
That's 9 more damage.
Here's the really funny thing, Saul. You stick your tongue out to grapple them, it goes straight through one of their eyes, and you pull back, and bits of brain are on your tongue.
Holy shit!
Oh, this is not the spaghetti I wanted.
I did tell you to stand down.
Calder, that's your turn. You're up there. There's one rat up here. And you've got a huge rat in the getaway airship and another rat with him.
How far away is the getaway airship?
I'll say it's 30 feet down.
I think Calder has a little satchel that always has a bunch of icy snowballs in it.
Great.
And I'm going to dig in there and chuck a ice ball, an ice rock, at this huge guy in the other airship.
Okay, great.
This is a catapult spell.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. So he will make a deck save.
All right, deck save. This guy does not have as good a dex as the other guys.
That was my hope.
It's not infected! Jake, for Zerk's sake, please land this catapult spell. I think I went the entire campaign too without landing one.
Only a 7.
Yes!
That'll do it. 13 damage to him.
13 damage, okay.
Woo!
This dude's still standing, much hardier, but gets hit, kind of recoils, loads up his magic cannon and prepares to shoot again.
Did they say something about juice? Because I think that's where all the juice is going.
Yeah, we're here to go. We're going to get the juice. We just need the juice to go.
You're juicing.
Yeah, of course.
You want to be as buffed as the guy with the gun.
After Calder's turn, that is the last rat's turn. He's going to make an attack on one of the remaining two cords that is holding the cargo. He successfully cuts another cord. It is now hanging by one, and this dude is going to release and jump down into the airship. So there are now two rogues down there, 30 feet down. He will take a little bit of damage. I will say that he aims for the big dude. Big dude does an athletics check and manages to catch him. He takes a little damage anyway. But there's two dudes down there. And now the cargo thing is hanging by one thing, which A, means they're about to get the cargo, and B, means you guys are about to plummet off of the city into just abyss. You guys feel the whole cart screeches and swings again to the side. That is Callie's turn.
Okay, I have a really stupid move. Yes. Okay, so they're 30 feet down. So could I jump down there?
Yep. It would 3d6 of damage.
Oh. Well, I think we need to get down there. So I'm going to just plummet.
Great. you take 12 damage.
And the duck follows her.
Yeah, flies down.
Okay. When I get down there, I want to change my like tempestuousness to be more of like a calm, soothing rain, and let the pitter patter of my rainy spirit put them to sleep. And I'm gonna cast a second level sleep.
Sweet. I'll start with the guys with the lowest hit points. Yeah. So go ahead and roll your HP. Okay. Sleep. You roll HP, and that's how many people fall asleep.
26.
You see the dude flying in the airship, and the dude that just jumped down here pass out. Both the rogues, only the big guys left. And now it's just you feel the airship start to like rock.
Okay, I look at him and I'm like, you see what I did? I worked my faith charms on your fucking friends. Tell us what you're trying to get.
We're trying to get the fucking juice.
Okay, still. Just the word
juice. We're trying to get the stuff they're using to make the new S-classes.
What?
Wait, really? Wait, if we help you, would you turn us into S-class?
You look at this dude's extremely infected monostone and go, yeah, no, this dude could turn you into S-class.
Really yeah, good call. Yeah. You know what? My friend's a really good pilot, and he's coming down here, and we're going to fly this fucking pitch. And I look up, and with my bonus action, I will give inspiration to Saul.
Fuck yeah.
Whoa. Sweet. After.
Is it manual? I can only drive manual.
Only manual?
After right. After Callie, that's the big rat. The big rat is going to go ahead, try to grapple Callie.
Oh, I didn't defensive flourish this time, so.
Ooh. You couldn't fucking handle this.
And rushes at you and tries to tackle you. Go ahead and give me a strength saving throw.
17 on the dice plus one, 18.
Okay, 17 passes. So this thing uses an ability called Head First Charge. It runs into you. It tries to knock you over. Fails to do that. After failing to do that, he goes, all right, fuck this, and shoots you with the mage cannon twice.
Oh.
First one, 16 to hit.
Misses.
Yes. Second nice. One, 20 to hit.
Hit.
Ooh, I rolled a 12 on the d12. 14 damage.
Okay.
After the big guy, that is Saul's turn.
Okay, so I'm still on the cable car. I think I'm going to jump down. I see that Callie is having a little tussle. I'm going to lend her a hand.
Great. Do you have a way to land safely, or do you have to take the 3d6 of damage?
I have an ability called Slow Fall.
Great.
Where I can reduce nice. Damage.
Right on.
It is beginning at fourth level. You can use your reaction when you fall to reduce any damage you take by an amount equal to 5 times your monk level. So
25?
20 damage. Yeah, 25. Yeah, 25
it's,
damage.
It's not going to hurt you. Yeah, okay. You land perfectly safe.
I go to this new rat and I say, I just tongued down my throat earlier today.
It's true. I saw it.
It's true. I don't know how we feel about it, but it is true.
You see one of the sleeping rats is flopping around on the ground, clearly dreaming about it.
So, all right, nobody's piloting the ship,
no,
right?
No, you feel it's, yeah, just, it's going to start, like,
oh, shit.
Dropping, yeah, like, next turn.
That's why I give you inspiration, baby.
Would you let me... I have two attacks.
Okay.
I have 10-foot reach with my spectral gauntlets. Mm. Can I steer the ship with one hand and punch with the other?
I'll let you do a dexterity check to steer.
Okay.
And then you can make an attack. Yeah. I'll let you do two. Yeah.
Raw dexterity?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Or you could use one hand
or
to steer.
Or like sleight of hand, if you'd rather.
Ooh, sleight of hand would be lovely.
Great.
Or you could use one hand to steer and the other hand to turn the radio on.
True. I'll say the radio, it's Mothership brand, so like you can just clap and like turn it. You can say like, Alexandre, I'd like to hear
Counting
Blue
Crows.
Orchid. Yeah.
yeah. I absolutely request that. And then, yeah, I'm going to do sleight of hand to steer the ship. Fuck yeah, that's going to be a 26. Gorgeous.
Sweet. You're able to steady it, so you're good with your one astral arm.
This has a lot more kick than my friend Albie's broom.
You guys had some amazing Liquidditch games.
Did you say Liquidditch?
That's from Hot Boy Summer.
Is it?
I really? Think.
That's good.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember, but it's good.
I'm 99% sure.
Oh, like a lacrosse. Fuck yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I buy it.
With my action, I will try to uppercut this big rat.
Rad.
Yes, baby.
That's going to be a 26.
Who is this Caldwell character?
That is good. Christ yes! blesses Monk Caldwell.
There's Here's something the about Buffo.
You take away the spells, all that's left there you go. Is the hell. Okay, so that's going to be 10 damage.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I'm going to use... Have I used my bonus action? No. I'm going to do a flurry of blows.
Yeah,
yes,
baby!
Dude. For you.
So yeah. I uppercut him, and then I'm just going to slap him and then backhand him.
Great.
Okay, so that's two
While
more attacks.
Steering.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Shout out to the 3 Kree and also a natural 1. So
He's back.
He's back. Yeah, that's what we get for being happy.
I know.
Dodge is out of the way.
Beefo.
There it was, right there.
Sorry.
After Saul, that is Calder's turn. Calder, this cargo is hanging on by one cord out of 4.
There's cargo in here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're and the rats want it for some reason.
Is there a way that I can bring it with me onto
it
the
It looks
airship?
Like that was their plan.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Baby.
So I'll follow through on that plan.
Here's what I will say, though. Everyone below is going to have to do a dexterity saving throw. Because it's like you're having a big crate fall onto this like little airship. Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid.
Great.
That was the only time I don't feel scared.
Yeah.
I yell down there, but when Calder yells, his voice kind of gets quieter.
So I read your lips then.
It's coming. Look out. Look out, everyone.
Sweet. Go ahead and make it's on a thing that's just staying still. So go ahead and just make it with advantage.
That's only a 15.
Passes the thing's AC. You successfully cut the cord. You don't even have to do damage. You cut it, and the freight car and this box fall down onto this airship.
Look out!
You are going to take damage from falling.
Mm-hmm.
So you take... Jesus Christ, I rolled good on damage, or bad for you. 13 damage.
I'm going to use Stone's Endurance.
Whoa, what does that do?
It's a Goliath trait, so I just crack my neck on each side and shrug off a D12 plus 4.
Whoa!
That's
goddamn
12 damage that I did not take.
Yeah, so
you, Jesus Lord, good for you. All the rats and Saul and Calliope need to make dex saves.
Okay.
Shout out to the 2 crew.
That's a 13 for Saul.
Okay.
Ooh, there's a classic rock station. Ah!
We were already listening to classic rock. Why there's so many dice?
That's a lot of pebbles.
This is going to be so funny. Our only healer is going down.
Okay. So I will say... You guys have enough heads up. Calder does yell down to you guys. So this damage you guys are taking, this is like as you roll out of the way and this thing clips you. So you're not getting like straight up crushed by like a 400-pound box. That's a death. But you guys are going to all take, you guys both fail. The big guy fails. The rats auto fail. You guys are all going to take 66 of damage.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Feel bad for shrugging my damage off.
21 damage.
Calliope right. turns into a puddle.
No! Duck, do something.
You see it goes over and it just keeps nuzzling into Calliope as she drops. Calliope, this thing, you roll out of the way, but you knock your head as you're rolling out of the way. Saul, you do take 21 damage. You do see that all of the rats are crushed, but you guys have secured the cargo.
Mission accomplished.
Mission sort of accomplished. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see the box lands on this airship, and Saul, you are controlling the airship. You guys have defeated all of the rats, but that is Callie's turn. Callie, I'm going to need a death saving throw.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Callie, please, no. The voice is too good.
Keep it together. 6.
Okay, that's a death saving fail. That is Saul's turn.
Okay.
I return to the dream I was having of my ex-boyfriend earlier.
All right, I'm still piloting. Can I use my guidance cantrip to try and just help her with her death save?
What is the language of guidance?
I think it's a D4 to an ability check.
Okay, a D4 to an ability check. I would allow that for a death saving throw. Yeah.
You know what I do? So I'm piloting with my hands. I twist my neck around. And I flick my tongue right into her mouth.
You guys start making out again. The muscle memory starts coming back.
You're supposed to do chest compressions as well.
After Saul's turn, Calder, that's your turn. Calder, you have secured the crate. The rats are all dead. You're on this airship. You see these two are making out, but Kelly, it's not looking well.
I guess I'll...
Love!
I'll do what Saul's not doing, and I'll add chest compressions.
Great. You go ahead and do chest compressions. I'll say you can use the guidance on this. You can do a D4 on this. Let me see what it is to stabilize a creature. I think it's just a DC... Yeah, DC 10 medicine check. Wisdom. Okay. That's... you can add the D4.
Great. 11.
Eleven. You do it. You get Calliope breathing again. Calliope comes back.
I think your iciness turns like my completely like messy puddle back into a firm shape of Calliope.
Oh hell yeah. Wait,
Calder, check and see if there's anything in that potion container that can help her.
Yeah. The container has exploded, right? So I can just
I'll say that it is definitely broken open as it has fallen. Go ahead and give me an investigate check, or like an arcana check.
Okay. That's a dirty 20.
Woo! Yeah.
A dirty 20. You look into the crate that has broken as it has fallen off this freight car here onto this airship. You see Calliope, I'll say you pop back up with 1 HP. You guys have brought her back. Saul, you have stabilized this airship. You've got it going again. You guys see in the distance military airships from Ezri begin swooping in to like give you guys backup. Like you guys responded to this super fast. This all happened in like 30 seconds, like a minute. This was just the most insane minute of your lives.
Kelly, yeah. All right. Yeah. Look alert. You're good. You're good.
Oh, right. Because
big show. Big
our
show.
Superiors are going to be here.
Right.
We've
yeah.
We've got our, like top soldiers. Hide the duck.
I put the duck in the glove compartment.
The duck hides. Calder, as you look at these potions with a 20 arcana?
Yeah.
Okay. The way sort of mothership products work is that they take spells and they turn them into materials, essentially, and they combine them. So you can't tell what this exact thing is, but anytime it's like a mix of things, you imagine it's some kind of soldier serum. Mm-hmm. But you see that there are other potions here that look like they are of a particular spell. And I'll say that, you know, studying to become a Synth Eldritch Knight and everything and doing all this work, you go over, you open one of the potions that is this like dark purple color, and you sort of like dab into it, and based on the smell and based on like dabbing it on your tongue, like a slight taste of it, you recognize the symbol spell, which is something that's basically like once there's a trigger, something happens.
Can I nip it?
You want to drink it?
Steal it.
Steal it? Mm. Yeah, you steal a simple potion.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's not like our superiors are going to be like, we had this number, we can easily blame the rat.
There's a serial number right on the side of the bottle there.
Well, I mean, the whole entire thing exploded, presumably. Some of them fell over the side.
Yeah, let's toss a couple.
Do you
Do you need
this?
We
don't get paid very well.
I don't know. I just kind of want power. I just don't want to keep being in the position I'm in. And it seems like they're not going to give it to us, so maybe we have to take it.
Go ahead and give me an insight check.
13.
You guys have just stopped a heist of what this rat described as being what the Esri scientists need to make this S-class Synth Eldritch Knight. You guys have stumbled into a much higher level mission than you could have hoped for. And now you've got all of these witnesses. These airships of these different soldiers are coming down.
Okay, I don't nip it. I just put it in the glove box.
Listen, I know where you're coming from. I haven't had power my entire life. This is a huge opportunity for us, but I think we can make this work with our superiors.
Yeah.
I think if we show them what we found, convince them that we deserve the S-rank serum, they'll have to agree. But also, maybe stash one away.
Yeah, just one.
Just one. Just one.
You guys hide some of these potions as you see another airship pulls up next to you. You see there's more in the distance. And you see a few Synth Eldritch Knights in glowing blue plate jump from their airship like 30 feet down, taking no damage, just Iron Man punch, land on the airship.
It looks better at night. It looks so much better at night.
I step out of the way.
I think I don't even want to know this, but I can't help. I'm so curious to know what they think of us. I will just throw out there a detect thoughts just so I know what they think of us.
You cast detect thoughts. You see as this one like Synth Eldritch Knight, A-class captain, looks around, sees all of these dead rogues, looks up, sees the cut cable, sees the potions still intact, sees that you have secured this airship, and he thinks,
I heard these guys were D-class, but this looks like C-class work.
So he shit, mistakes
boys,
he
in.
Mistakes you guys
in.
As C-class.
We are on our way.
I like rub my butt against the wall like a bear. Just like so am.
And that's where we'll end our session.
Oh my god!
Promoted.
C-class baby. From ducks to cucks, I gotta work on it.
We'll work on it. We will absolutely work on it.
I mean, why?
It's true. It's perfect. Sweet. That was super fun, guys.
That was incredible.
So much fun to be back in the studio.
Good work, man.
Great work
for you guys.
Very fun.
Sweet. Thank you all so much for listening. You can listen to our short rest over on patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing.
My throat is full.
Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
Oh, man. We got so much to plug.
Oh, yeah.
We have shows.
So many shows.
Shows are coming.
Yeah. San Francisco sold out, but I think there's still tickets in Seattle. I believe there's tickets in Dallas. Mm. I think Austin has gone on sale.
Oh,
go onto the website.
Yes.
Everything that you need to know is...
NADPOD.com/live.
There you go.
There's a lot of shows coming
There you
up.
Go. I believe also our plush Bookvar has opened up.
He's so
cute. So sweet.
Do you know the URL for that, Caldwell?
I believe it's just NADPOD.com/Bookvar.
Bukvar.
Yeah. All right. Great. Mm-hmm. So check that out. That's live right now. Also, I almost called you Calder. And it begins.
You know what? Let's just go ahead and establish this now. I'm Hugh now. I changed my name. I would love to shout out Brendan_Greyjoy and Captain Deathcap, who were the people that made the Bullywug homebrew that I'm using for this game.
Yeah, baby.
Nice. Good work.
Thanks to them, I get a 10-foot reach on my tongue.
Yeah.
How do you put that to use, baby?
Just some non-sensual tonguing.
Just anytime Emily does an accent, a British accent, she has to make out with Caldwell. You know?
Well, I was just doing it to make Gifford jealous.
Oh, I know.
Right.
Not you, Murph.
It was just a strategic move.
I punch a wall. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use. At CHMurph is me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Axford's Emily, and at Jake Hurwitz is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using #NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are! We are! The youth of the nation. We are. The youth of the nation.
It's the end of our show, which means it's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Thank you all so, so much for your support. It is an honor to return to Bohemia with you. Let's get right to it. Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, Matt M., Darby M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Dylan B., Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D., Danny P., Michael McD., Vincent W., Miss Terre Cole, Balnor's Boy Forever, Andrew B., Justin I., Ragnar Fairdwin, TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Kaylee Elise, Elena M., Trele the Cray, Jared E., Christopher B., Damiel R., Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Filbert the Fabulous, Richard X Machina, Michael L., Trast the Traveler, Sir Carl, Jory S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Samuel B., Mike H., Udushmiluk, the Baby Bronze Dragon, Matthew E., Colton B., Adam G., Knee Badger, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Nathan Cartier, the Assistant King to the Assistant King of Iron Deep, Hail to the Hammer, Grace G., Diana, Cece Lulu, Barnesinator, Michelle O., Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, clever, Timmy R., Crocaholic, Lucas B., Ray Takuchi of the Broken Shoulder Clan, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Come, New York, Cass Skateboard Cass, Stephen C., Michael M., Mike K., Lady Taco, Joy T., Nara, Jake L., Nick W., Brave the Badger, Esme M., Mutton the Mad Druid, who has been trying to undo his friend's curse that's been stuck as a polymorph sheep for 3 weeks, Smog in the TARDIS, Casimir the All-Knowing, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Ghoulia Julia, Thrath, Burly T, Percival Frederickstein von Musel Klasowski de Rolo III, Christian A, J Dragonborn, Joro the Anna Prow, Cody B, Liam Darrington, the Sandrian, Ben A, Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F, the Time Walker, Two Left Eyes, DPC is awesome, Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian, Cat Camille, Cat C, Kelsey J, Porkchop, Velaciraptor, Minette the Magnificent Magikarp, Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Hazelbat Latte, Ryan S, The Charming Fluff, Robot Crisp, Brintley C, Micah B, Mr. Satan, the World Martial Arts Champion and the Earth's Protector, Ploops, Carly A, Addy Birdie Save K, Lori P, Seth AJ, Spam Gaming, the Not So Skilled Gamer, Connor S, Christopher J. Pebblepot, Logan S, Leviathan, Biocourt 7, Amber Dextrous, Thrill of the Fright, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Sydney Tatum, Jack H, Matt Y, Garble the Moist, Juicy Kiwi, Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C, Louie is your dad, Jake, Noah, the bagel of all things, Loyal Theoger, Conflicted DM, Justin LeBee, Dandy, Bunny, Marcos P, Pup Kalish, Gabriel M, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota JP, Pagos, self-proclaimed Fey Prince, Katrin, the Great One, a Warlock Patron, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Brandon D, Andy E, Lisa Malcolm, President of Potatoes, Holly Hyena, Anthony A, Leia C, Abigail, May B, Kristen with a K, Sloth King 777, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N,
Russell H. A monk named Dilgo. Yes, the whole thing. Yes, every time. Neos, the novice monster hunter. Lorelei and Kyra Frost. Morgan M. Sticker. Zachary A. Stephen E. Mr. Adams. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F. Jimmy A. Cap'n Cappy. Number 1, Jens Lindelfen. The Dragon Ambassador. Wayfarer. Andrew B. Dalton B. Cope Fresh. Best DM James. Barpo Goodbarrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. Tari rhymes with Jabari. Welshlander. Garrett G, aka One Big Curd. Eric M, and Jaden D. And that is all of our elders. Thank you all so, so much for your support. If you would like to change your name, you can go to your settings on Patreon to do that. If you would like to join the elders, you can head to patreon.com/nadpod and subscribe at the $50 tier. We thank you so, so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.